Welcome to You Are From God, where we open the Bible and learn to see the image of God in ourselves and the people around us. I'm Scott Taylor.
And I'm Tyler Hall. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for joining us again. We are so glad you've chosen to spend a few minutes with us as we consider the wonderful idea that you are from God. If you were able to listen to the last episode, you know that we have started a new series looking at emotions, talking about the feelings that we experience, some of these core feelings that enter into our lives. Sometimes they might feel like they just overwhelm us and we have no choice in them, and other times we are constantly seeking after the ones that, whether we want to or not, feel like they give us purpose in life. And so today, Scott, we're going to continue talking about emotions. Last time we talked about fear. And ultimately with these, what we want to do is put them in the proper place that God has designed them for. As we mentioned last time, every emotion we have is a God-given emotion. It's something that is meant to draw us closer to Him or to reveal truth about the world and ourselves and the people around us. But like with many things, our emotions can be hijacked. They can be twisted into something that God did not intend them to be used for because of free will, because of the lies of the enemy. And so we really want to take some time to get in our feelings with these episodes and think about how we feel these things in a way that is glorifying to God. So today we want to look at the emotion of disgust. Now we might not normally think about disgust as an emotion, but let's be honest, we're getting the emotions we're talking about from Pixar's Inside Out, so we're going with disgust. But honestly, it is this idea of this reaction. It's something that keeps us safe. Things that would otherwise make us sick or put us in danger, there's this disgust factor that's built into the way that we are made by God. And so, Scott, I think when we talk about this from a spiritual application, it's so clear to see that God has made us to feel disgust for certain things. And you don't have to look very further than the book of Job in chapter 1 and verse 1. It describes the title character here. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. Some of your translations might say he eschewed evil, and it simply means he was disgusted by it. He turned away from every form of evil. And that really is what Romans chapter 12 and verse 9 says. The same idea is basically, be like Job. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. So it's not just enough to abhor or be disgusted by evil, but we're doing that so that we can hold fast to what is truly good. And so God has built in us this sense of right and wrong so that we can be disgusted by what is wrong, what is against God, what is unholy, and that we can truly value and prize and cherish what is holy. Simple enough, Scott, but we realize that that quickly gets turned on its head.
And that's the problem when you think about Romans, the 12 chapters you just read. The version I'm using says, detest what is evil. And you just think about that perspective. The opposite that's given here is cling to what is good. And Tyler, one of the hardest parts in this conversation many times is that we switch those. And a lot of times people can detest what is good. And that's the issue that we struggle with. We've talked about on this program before, and certainly in sermons recently you have done, where you talked about what is good and how we define what good is. And that's really understanding God's word and understanding who He is and how He defines things. And this detesting of what is evil is so important, because what happens is we switch it around and we become like people we read in the Old Testament and what we see around us in the world, rather than being God's people. And I know for you, Tyler, you think about Jeremiah, the 6th chapter in verse 15. Do you happen to be there?
Yeah. So in Jeremiah 6:15, it's this fascinating piece where God's speaking through the prophet. And he says, were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. They did not know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. At the time that I punish them, they shall be overthrown, says the Lord. So ultimately, Scott, this is a prophecy of judgment from God. But I just think it's fascinating that God says they didn't know how to blush. You forget how to blush when you get so used to sin that you're comfortable with it, that it just becomes something that you accept in your life rather than something you're disgusted by. And this isn't just a concept found in the Old Testament. It's something that is emphasized again in the New Covenant under Jesus.
Right. So you think about Ephesians, the fourth chapter, as an example, verses 17 through 19. He says, "So I say this and affirm in the Lord that you are to no longer walk as just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their minds, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their hearts. And they have become callous, having given themselves up to indecent behavior for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness." And it continues on here talking about how we're supposed to walk as God's people. But you see this all the time. This is the issue when the world views God's people as sort of being odd. It's because we're striving to be like God and we are disgusted with what truly is supposed to be disgusting rather than, as the world does, just kind of starts to accept various things. The danger, Tyler, is when we do the exact same thing. And that's what's so fascinating here about this practicing of every kind of impurity and greediness, how often this comes down to just selfishness. It's not about me striving to serve a God or anything like that. It's just, this is what I want to do, and this is how I want to live my life, and it should be okay because I'm the one that's choosing to do it, and it has nothing to do with you. Well, the reality is it has everything to do with God, and that's the important part of this conversation, that whether you're talking about Jeremiah, that the people in the Old Testament were struggling with, and it's the same thing for us. How many things probably should make us blush that don't make us blush anymore because it's just become natural and normal?
Yeah, the phrase here that really sticks out to me to go along with that blushing idea is the idea that they have become callous. We can become callous and unfeeling towards the spiritual gravity of what we're engaged in or not engaging in. You know, I used to play guitar. I can still play a little bit, but when I was first playing guitar, when you're pushing down on the strings with your fingers, it hurts a little bit. You know, it's not something you normally do, and you push down on those strings and they push back a little bit and they bite into you, and it leaves indentations in the tips of your fingers. But the more that you do it, the more that I practiced, I eventually found that it didn't bother me as much and I could push those strings down pretty easily. But something happens with that. The tips of your fingers actually build up calluses because they're being used a lot and they're building up strength and getting really tough skin there on the tips of your fingers. That's all well and good when you're talking about using certain aspects of your fingers or even your feet to do work. But this is talking about our hearts being calloused, that we've just exposed ourselves to so much sin that is disgusting to God that we've forgotten how to blush at it, and it's built this callous up, so we've given ourselves, as verse 19 of Ephesians 4 says, to sensuality, to greed, to practice all these kinds of impurity because we don't think there's anything wrong with it, or that's the risk, right? So this concept of being calloused, of not being disgusted by things that are truly disgusting, truly is a heart issue, as it talks about here. Now, the awesome thing is, God takes hearts of stones and turns them into hearts of flesh. God can show us the depravity of sin. He shows us the cost of sin, and he shows us the immense love he has despite our sin, all in the beautiful picture of Jesus on the cross. And it is just awesome to realize that that can be a wake-up call, and to have our sense of disgust in a holy way be reawakened.
It's interesting in Mark, the seventh chapter, that this is the conversation that's going on about the heart and what really defiles somebody. And he goes on and he'll talk about some of the things that can defile us. And, you know, when you think about the list in the Bible and you see various ones, 1 Timothy, Romans, the first chapter is just where I happen to be. Murder, we understand, right? I think we all detest or are disgusted by murder, by those types of things, the big sins, if you will, that people will talk about. But in Romans, the first chapter, in this same grouping of things of murder and evil and wickedness and all these different words that we like to use, is disobedient to parents or untrustworthy or unmerciful. All of those things are things that we're striving to detest or be disgusted by. We're not doing those things. It's not just because these are a little bit better for us, we become callous to them, and therefore it's okay for us to do. The reality when we talk about God is that we're striving to abhor evil. And sometimes, Tyler, the difficulty is we don't understand what evil is either. We've talked about good, but the same with evil. Disobedient to parents, untrustworthy, all these different things that we can kind of struggle with on a day-to-day basis are things that we need to work on. It's not solely not being murderers, or you think about 1 John where he says not taking care of your friends or your family or your brother, and not having that right attitude towards them is like hating them is like murder. And that's the reality of God's people, what we're striving to be like. And that's the attitude that we need to have. That takes this disgust conversation to another level, in my opinion. And that's what's so interesting about a passage like 1 Thessalonians 5.
And that's why it's important to realize when we're talking about this disgust, it's not disgust with a person. It's disgust right. with practices. We've talked about this on this program before. We preach about this. It's not about hating individual people. It's realizing that practices are enough to condemn people to hell. And so we want to be disgusted by sin in itself, but we want to love people who are trapped by Satan to do his will. And that included us at one point. And somebody loved us enough to teach us the gospel. But to your point, 1 Thessalonians 5 makes it clear that this requires us to actually think, really think clearly about the things that we are saying, the things that we're doing, the things we're choosing to let into our minds, whether it's by media or by entertainment. 1 Thessalonians 5, 21 and 22 simply says, test everything, hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. And so you notice here, it's not just enough to flee the bad things. We have to pursue what is good. Paul tells Timothy something similar in his letters to Timothy in the Bible. But this idea that, how do I know how to hold fast to what is good? How can I make this choice of holding fast to what is good and abstaining from every form of evil? Well, it's simply this idea that I have to test everything. I need to test something, and the only way you can test something is by having a standard. If there was no objective morality, if there was no sense of true unchanging good and true unchanging evil, then we couldn't do this. It would just be whatever you feel like on any given day. But because there is a God who made good things, and any deviation from him or away from him is necessarily bad, we have a standard for good and evil. And so the scriptures tell us to pursue godly things. Test everything and hold fast to what you find to be good by God's standards, and abstain from every form of evil. You know, Scott, I love David as an example of this. The story of him with Bathsheba and the struggle that he has with being tempted and ultimately sinning in several different ways there, it starts with him not fleeing evil. He's not filling his life with the things he should be doing. It simply says that he's supposed to be out. It's the time that kings go out to war, and he stays in Jerusalem. And so while all of his men are fighting off on this battle, he is found at home doing these things that lead him into sin. What I find fascinating when we come to a place like Psalm 101 and verse 3 is David kind of learning from this experience and understanding the importance of having disgust for things that are truly outside of God's will. This translation simply says, I will not even consider doing what is dishonest. I hate doing evil. I will have no part of it. And many translations, Psalm 101 and verse 3 there says that I'm not going to set anything worthless before my eyes. And we think a lot of things are worthwhile, I believe, when God has called them worthless. They're of no benefit. They're actually poisoning you or taking away life from you when true life is found in God. And so as we think about this idea of disgust, Scott, and as you, listener, are considering how disgust plays a role in your life, from the very practical of not drinking the spoiled milk in the fridge to staying away from the entertainment that's giving you ungodly thoughts, we need to make sure that our disgust muscles are working properly. Ask yourself honestly today, have you forgotten how to blush? Do you know how to blush at things that God says are evil? And is your heart tender to receiving his correction and direction in your life? Or is it calloused because you've just surrounded yourself with something that has been such a big part of your life, even though God has said, this is not good for you? We want to encourage you to make sure that you test everything, to hold fast to what is good, and to abstain from every form of evil, because you are made for so much more than the disgusting aspects of sin that too easily cling so closely, but to throw them off and run into the loving arms of Jesus today, to understand that he has made you for better things, that you are from God. Thanks for listening. Show your support by leaving a review on your podcast app, and share this episode with someone you want to encourage. If you have questions or would like to get in touch with us, go to youarefromgod.com. That's youarefromgod.com.